Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the first wide line. Amar Rav Chi Bar Abba Rav Yochanan Boy. As we learned in the previous shir, there's machlokes between the Chacham and Rav Yosef Makiper how to explain the pasuk of La Yuchal Bala Harishna Shasholcha Loshav Lakachta Lios La Liisha Achri Shutama. Which we know that pasuk discusses the halacha of a machzik gushasai. If somebody divorced a woman, under what circumstances may he remarry her, under what circumstances may he not remarry her. Rav Yosef Ben Kippur says that the words achri hushotama comes to teach us that after she was married to another man, she had nesuin, he may not remarry her. The Rabbanan, as we explained in the previous year, have a difficulty in understanding that the word achrei shutama, the word tuma, should refer to a machzik grushasai. And therefore they say achrei shutama refers, as we learned in the previous year, to a case of a saita. But just to put it into perspective, according to Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur, machzik grushasai is also considered tuma, which we learned in the previous year is considered an erva. The Rabbanim don't agree. So now the Gemara asks, Hamach Rishasim Menesis. Somebody remarried a wife that he divorced after she married someone else. And now this man dies. Mahu. What is the halacha regarding this woman? Will Tzorasa Mahu. What is the halacha regarding the tzara of this woman? Will this woman be considered a erva that will affect her tzara? Or she not be considered an erva? Omle, Rav Ami, v'tabay lach hi gufa. Why are we focusing, asks Rav Ami, on the tzara? What about the machzik rishasai herself? That it's only a chiv lav. Is she eligible to yibum, to chalitza? Says the Gemara, hi gufa like mebayle. Regarding herself, we have no question that she's not eligible for yibum. Damrinan, because we say the following kavachayma. The mutala, the husband that she was married to, she's really a surah, because she was a machzik rishasai. They should have not gotten married. But asaloi, the brother-in-law, who till now was asatara, brother-in-law, as we've been explaining, is generally not allowed to marry his sister-in-law. It's only in the specific case of yibum, like kolshkein. Certainly she's not a candidate for yibum. Ki kamabayle, the question here is, tzarasamai, what will be the din regarding the tzara? That's the way the Tosfos explains the Gemara. Mi olam kal v'chomer l'mitchi tzara. We just learned the kal v'chomer that taught us that she is certainly exempt from yibum. Does that kal v'chomer have the ability also to exempt her tzara from yibum? Eloi. Or is the kal v'chomer only exempt the woman who was divorced and got remarried, but not her tzara? So as Tosfos explains, even on the machzik rishasai herself, we have no question that says she would be the only wife, that she has to have chalitza. The issue here is that the Gemara is learning now that there's a kavachomer, and this kavachomer exempts this woman from yibum, and the question is, does it pass on to the tzara also? So Reb Nochem and really Reb Chanan in the Kavach Tzaraos explains the Gemara this way, because they're asking, she's only a chayv elavim. If somebody remarries his wife, it's only chayv lav. And we've already learned so many times that a chayv lavin is supposed to get yibum. So what's happening here? Why she's certainly exempt? And the question is, habara tzara. So they explain that since the Torah says that, since this kavachomer tells us that she should not get yibum, so she reverts to being an eshesach. An eshesach is an erva. So now the question, Reb Nochem says, interesting lumdus. The question of the Gemara, he says, is we've established that she's an Eishas Ach. The question is, to what degree have we established that she's an Eishas Ach? We certainly have established it, at least at this point of the Gemara, that she's exempt from Yibum, but does it cause her tzara also to be a tzara's erva that can't have Yibum? And if she can't have Yibum, her tzara can't have Yibum? Or maybe the Kavachomer only affects her, but it doesn't have the ability to extend itself to her tzara. And that's the Gemara's question. For Chalitza, since she's not, She singed only Chai V'Lavin. Nobody has a question that both she and her Tzara are eligible for Chalitza. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masnin Hochi. Rav Nachman Yitzchak learned the question this way. Amar Chiba Abba, Boy Rav Yochanan, Hamachzik Rishosim Mishinissus Mahu. What's going to be the halacha about this woman that he remarried after he was, after she remarried someone else? Amalei Rav Ami Tiboylach Tzorosa. So he says, what about, why are you only asking about her? What about the Tzara? Says the Gemara, according to this version, Tzara like my boyle. There is no question regarding the Tzara. The like Olam Kavachoymer, that the Kavachoymer is not that powerful, Lemitchi Tzara, to exempt the Tzara from Chalitza and even from Yibo. The question is, El Kikom Boyle, he go for. The question is, do we apply the Kavachoymer to the woman herself? Do we say, Mi olam kavachayim v'milka mitzvah, even though there's a chi of yibum here, but we have countering it, a kavachayimer, and therefore yibum should not take place, only chalitza? Or like, perhaps since there's a chi of yibum, even though there's a kavachayimer, which leads us to say that there should be no yibum, perhaps the chi of and the mitzvah of doing yibum overrides that kavachayimer. Amalei, tenesua. We learned it, and we actually learned this gemara in the previous year. Haisa achas ksheira v'achas psula. If a two women fell to a man for yibum, one is a woman who's kosher, and one is a woman who's pasul, and we'll explain that in a moment. So says the Mishnah, the Braisa, in my yecholitz, if the brother who's the yavam is choosing to do chalitza chaylitz lepsula, he should do chalitza to the woman who's pasul. But if he chooses to do yibum, miyabim l'ksheira. He should do yibum to the woman who's kosher. So the question is, my ksheira, my psula. What is the definition when we're saying that one woman is kosher and one woman is pasul? Ilay m'ksheira ksheira la'alma. That when we call one woman kosher, she's a woman that's allowed to marry kohanim. And psula means psula la'alma, that she's a woman that may not marry kohanim. Says the Gemara, kivin d'ldei chazya. If the yavan is a Yisrael, so what's the difference that one woman is a woman that's allowed to marry kahanim, she's not a divorcee, she's not a previous chalutza, and the other woman is not? What's the difference? Elalaf, what? How was, must we explain this braisa? What is the case of the braisa referring to? Ksheira, ksheira lei. The woman that's kosher is kosher to him. Psula, psula lei. The one woman he's allowed to have yibum with, and one woman he's not allowed to have yibum with. What is such an example? Or mainly you, Masig Rishasai, will explain that the brother died. He left two wives. One wife was a woman that he should not have been married to, because it was a woman that was a Masig Rishasai after she got married that he should have not taken back. The other woman was her Tzara, and the Bryce is teaching us, Im Hay Miyabim, if he chooses to do Yibim, Miyabim Luxera, he should do Yibim to the Tzara. And if he's doing chalitza, he could do chalitza to the machzik rishasai, to the psula. So what do we see from here? Going back to our questions. From here we see the answer to both questions. From here we see that to the woman who was the machzik rishasai, only chalitza may be done, not yibum. And to the woman who is the tzara, both yibum and chalitza may be done. All our questions are answered. Even though the rishonim ask, perhaps the Gemara could be going according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. And Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, as we said in our introductory remarks, certainly calls the woman that was the Machzik Rishasai Mishinissus Tamei, as we quote at the beginning of the shiur. So she's certainly not eligible for Yibum. And we don't have an answer what the Chachamim will hold. So most Rishonim say that the Gemara didn't want to say that, because the Rishonim say that the Gemara wanted to try to figure out if this price approved even according to the Chachamim. Another pshat that I saw from the Ritva. According to Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, the entire question and answer that we're having here doesn't begin. Because according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, the Machzik Rishasai herself is not eligible for Yibam. She's called Tamei. And since the Torah called it Tamei, Hatzara is certainly also not eligible for Yibam. So the question that the Gemara began with isn't going according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. And the answer that the Brice is suggesting, that the Machzik Rishasai is not eligible for Yibam, but the Tzara is eligible for Yibam, cannot be consistent with Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur's understanding. So it must be going to the Chachamim, and we have a proof what the Halach is. Said the Gemara, that's not what this Brice is referring to. Kshera goes back to mean Kshera l'alma, a woman that may marry Kahanim. Psula means Psula l'alma. And what the Bryce is saying like this, if he's going to do Chalitza, so if there's one woman that's anyway disqualified to marry Kahanim, so do a Chalitza to her. Why do Chalitza to her? Because she's anyway disqualified to Kahanim, as is the Chalitza. So we're not affecting her adversely by doing Chalitza. But if we're going to do Yibam to the woman that's kosher. We asked, or the Kamrit, Kivin de Ladei Chazia. But he's not a Kohen. So what's the difference what his Chalitza will do to these women? My Nafkele Minei? Answered the Gemara Mishon de Rabbi Yosef. Dama Rabbi Yosef, Kan Shana Rebbe. Rebbe teaches us here, Lo Yishpech Odomei Boiroi. A person should not pour out the water. If somebody else needs the water, even though you don't need it, don't pour it out. Here too, going to do chalitza on a woman who till now is allowed to marry a kohen, and by you choosing to do chalitza on her, we could just as well do chalitza on a woman who's already anyway disqualified to marry kahanim, is wrong and should not be done. So Mefarshim asked, what's the chiddush that Rabbi Yosef is teaching us? This is the halacha about tashchis, that you shouldn't do something that hurt people. Batashuk doesn't only mean throwing out food. Any time where you do damage. This is called doing damage. So Mefarshim answer, the Sukkos Tavit answers this teretz. From here we see how far Batashuk goes. Most of the world is not Kohanim. So if you'll do Chalitza to this woman who's a kosher, you don't really affect her. Because most of the people that she may marry are not Kohanim, so the fact that she's a Chalutza wouldn't make a difference. But it'll only affect a small group of people in the world. That is still enough to be called Baal Tashchis. Why? Because it falls under the category of Lo Yishbach Adam Eibari V'Cherem Tzrichlohem. And we see this concept in Halacha in a number of examples. One example I saw, Mr. Brewer says, let's say someone has a talus with tzitzis on it. And the tzitzis are kosher tzitzis, but they're getting old. So he wants to change his tzitzis. So Mr. Brewer says, L'chatchila, you should not just snip the tzitzis off, even though it's a lot easier. You should untie all the knots. Why? Because maybe somebody else is going to need those tzitzis. If you cut them, they become puzzle. Even though the amount of people that will use your old tzitzis are very insignificant, don't do it. Mr. Brewer quotes that the Chayyadim says that if it's a real tircha to untie them, then perhaps you can cut them. Similar halacha I saw. Let's say somebody is a shaykhet, he owns a slaughterhouse. And his customers are not Jews, so they don't have to eat kosher meat. He should still try to use a shaykhet with a kosher knife to cut the meat, to shech the meat, because you never know, there may be somebody who wants to eat kosher meat, and by you making this animal treif, because you don't cut it with a shaykhet and with a chalif, you just shoot it or whatever, you may be causing that somebody who may want to eat it, as remotely, as unlikely as it is, to want to eat it, and we should never cause baltashkas, even when it's a small chance only that it may be baltashkas. So we still have our shayles. Toshma, the Brisa says, Hamachzik Rishosim Mishanosis, if somebody takes back his wife after she remarried, Hiva Tzarosa Chalitzas. She and her Tzara are only candidates for Chalitza. So from here we seem to see that they're only candidates for Chalitza. Says the Gemara, this Brisa is obviously problematic. Hiva Tzarosa Sakadaitach, as we've been learning, you only do Chalitza to one of the wives. El Eima, how do we have to redefine it? Or he Oy Tzarosa. Either she should be a candidate for Chalitza or a Tzara. But what do we see from here? That the Brice is teaching us that a Machzik Rishosai, both she and her Tzara, are only candidates for Chalitza, not for Yibo. Says the Mar, you can't bring a proof from this brisa. The last terutzi kometatzla, we just explained that this brisa isn't accurate. Tritz hachi, so we could explain the brisa. He chaylatzis, she, the machzik rishosai herself, is only a candidate for chalitza. Tzarasa oy chaylatzis amis yabemis. A tzara may even be a candidate for yibam. So as the Rishonim point out, even though we began the shiur with two questions, what is the status of the woman herself? Of the Machzik Rishosai herself, and what is the status of her tzara? And we just said that the tzara, we have no clear brisa teaching us the halacha of the tzara. This brisa does teach us that the woman herself, the Machzik Rishosai herself, may only receive chalitza, but she may not receive yibam. Why? because as we began the shir, because there's a kal v'chomer. If to a husband that she was married to, she really shouldn't have been married, certainly to her, to the Yavam, who was her brother-in-law, who was a Issacharis till now, she should not be miyabim to him, she should not get married to him. And there's an interesting machloikis, Taz and Beis Shmuel, how far we apply this kal v'chomer. The Taz says that this kal v'chomer is only midrabbanan. Midrabbanan, because we have this kal v'chomer, we say that she, the Yavam should not do Yivam, should only do Chalitza. The Beis Shmuel is even more machmer. He says this kal v'chomer is so strong that it disqualifies her even midaraisa from Yibam, and she's only allowed to have Chalitza. So Yisurim Mefarshim explained a beautiful explanation in the Machloikas of the Taz and Beis Shmuel. We said this concept in the previous year. We explained that when the woman who falls to Yibam was not really legally, let's use that word, she was an Issalaf to her husband falls, we have this Kavachayim. And therefore we're saying Yibam shouldn't take place. Why not? So some of Farshim explain, what is the purpose of Yibam? Lahakim Shem Lachif. To establish a name for the brother who passed away. But you don't want to establish a name for a marriage that was a marriage in sin, so to speak. Therefore the Beis Shmuel says, Midaraisa don't do Yibam. The Taz doesn't apply that concept. He applies a concept that whatever was the status of the marriage while the first husband was alive will be extended to the second one. But it's only a marriage of a chiyuv lav, which is wrong, but it's kedushin or taifis. It's only the rabbanim that say we don't want to extend this type of a relationship, and that's why they say don't do yibam, do chalitza. Continues the Gemara. Amar Levi bar Mamal, Amar Marukva, Amar Shmuel. As we learned when we began the Masechta, there's a concept of miyun. Midai Raisa, a father has a right to marry off his daughter who's a ketana. That kedushin is a kedushin daraisa. However, the brothers, the mother, don't have that right. Chazal established that in order that the girl should be able to get married, if she doesn't have a father, her brothers or her mother can marry her off. However, it's only kedushin derabbanan, and therefore, until she's a gedayla, she could do what's known as miyun. She could retract, she can annul the marriage. There's another case of miyun, even when her father's alive, as we explained when we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Let's say a girl's father married her off when she was a ketana, and she divorced that husband. So now she's called a yusayma b'chayo av. Even though she still has a father, her father only gets one chance. Since that marriage that he gave her away to was terminated, now even though she still has a father, when she gets remarried, it's only kedusha d'rabbanan, and she's a candidate for miyun. Says Rav Levi bar Mamma, Saras Mamamenes. You have a woman, let's say we have Reuven and Shimon. And Shimon dies and he left two wives. One wife is a ketana, and the other wife is a gdailah. So, Saras, and this wife who's a ketana does miyun. She does miyun in Yibum, in the Yavam. But let's understand what that means halachically. What that halachically means is that she annulled her original marriage. Tells us Rav Levi that even her tzara will not be allowed to have Yibam from that Yavam. Says the Gemara, Laman, who are we saying that she's no longer, the tzara no longer eligible for Yibam? Ilay Malachim, if you're saying that the other brothers who she did not do mean to may not do Yibam or have relations with the tzara, that can't be. Because as we're going to learn Sugis later in the Masechta, Hashtehi Gufisharya, this woman, this ketana, who did Miyun, only is not allowed to have relations with the brother that she did miyun to. The other brothers should be allowed to have relations. Damashmu, miyun abazeh, if she did miyun on one brother, muteris bazeh. So the other brothers, she's allowed to have relation with. So if this woman herself, who did the miyun, is allowed to have relations with the brother, tsarasa mibaya, there's a question that the tsara, whose entire issue only emanates from this Talus Hamiyun, will be qualified for to be allowed to have relations with the brother. El Lidai, the issue is that what he's teaching us is that both the woman who did Miyun and Hatsara may not have relations with the brother that she did Miyun to. Ask the Gemara. Why did we just explain that the woman who did miyun may have relations with the other brothers. She never did miyun to them. Says the Gemara, if we follow that line of reasoning, Tzara nami lo of the b'maisa. The Tzara didn't do anything to this brother. Her co-wife did, but she didn't do anything. So why, explains Tosfos as the Gemara's question, is she not allowed to have relations with the brother who the Mamenis did miyun to? Why? She didn't do anything. She's only a co-wife. Answers the Gemara, Zer mishum Tzara speak to Mamenis. As we learned in the Mishnah, there's a case like this. Let's say, again, Reuven and Shimon, brothers. Reuven has a daughter, who's a Yisoyim B'chayav, let's remember what I said in the introduction, who married Shimon. And Shimon has another wife. Now, Shimon passes away. So we learned that what could happen, let's go slow, is that Shimon's wife, who's Reuven's daughter, who's still a katana, could actually do miyun and break her marriage, annul her marriage, and Reuven should be allowed to marry Shimon's other wife, because she's not a tsar of an erva, because that marriage was annulled. The halach is that she may not. The halach is that it's too late. If she only wants to do miyun, and we'll explain this more in the Gemara, that she wants to do miyun after Shimon died, since Reuven is her father, she can no longer do miyun to allow Reuven to marry a co-wife. And now what the Gemara is teaching us is that Chazal extended the gzeira even to a case where the two women, one is not even an erva. Because of a case where one wife is an erva to the Yavam, where we'll explain, Yivam should not take place with either wife, we extend it even to a case where neither wife is a relative to the Yavam. Ask the Gemara. But Tzara's Bita Mimamanis Miyasira, is that true that the Tzara of a Erva who could do Miyun is Asur? But Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, the Kulan, all the women that are mentioned, all the Ervas that are mentioned in our Mishnah, Emesu or Manu, if they died or they did Miyun, Tzara's same with Tzara's. So the question is the Miyun of a man. What does the Mishnah mean? Ilema the Miyun of a Baal. That the Mishnah is teaching us that before Shimon died, his wife did miyun on her, and therefore there was no relationship at the critical moment of death. Haina grusha. That's the same as if he would have divorced her. Why does the Mishnah have to say miyun and gerushin? Elalaf, b'yavam. Isn't the Mishnah teaching us that she only did miyun in the yavam, and the Mishnah is teaching us that even though she did miyun only after Shimon died, it will not affect the tzara? Says the Gemara, loy l'olam b'baal. When the Mishnah said that she did miyun, that the tzara's mutter is referring to a case which she did miyun in the husband. But we just asked the question, if that's the case, we already learned gerushin. Says the Gemara, v'trei gavni gerushin. There are two examples of gerushin given in the Mishnah. One is the classical case of a divorce, and the other case is miyun. And the Mishnah is teaching us, as long as that was done before Shimon passed away, then her tzara will be mutter to marry Reuven. Says the Gemara, umayishna kimiyun b'baal. As we've been explaining, what is the lomdus of miyun? That gwinelin is suin. Because what miyun does is it annuls the marriage. The halacha looks like nothing happened here. There was never a marriage. So same should be kimiyun of a yavam. What's the difference if she only did the miyun after the husband died? Nami nisuin kamoi kakra, and there was never a marriage. So the tzara should not be considered a tzara's erva. She's never married to the man. Answers the Gemara. Mishnatani Rami by Yecheskel. The Tani Rami by Yecheskel, Mian Ababal, let's say you have a woman, a katana, married to a Jew whose name is Reuven. And she does Mian. The halacha is Materis La'aviv. The halacha recognizes that this marriage was never a marriage. It was just that they had relations. Reuven had relations with this woman, and therefore Yaakov may marry this woman. However, B'yavam, if she did Mian only after the son died, then asur lavav. Why? What's the difference? Alma, since mishas nefila nirka kalosai, at the moment of death, let's explain this case. You had Yaakov, and you have Reuven, his son. And Reuven is married to a woman who's a katana. So if the woman did miyun and Reuven as long as Reuven was alive, So that annuls the marriage, and this woman could live with Yaakov, could marry Yaakov. She had relations with a son, mefutas b'noyiz mutter. But if on the other hand, Reuven dies, and then she did miyun, it's too late. Because the moment of death, she looked like a daughter-in-law, even though afterwards she did miyun, which undid that, it's too late. Hachanami, in the same in Al Gemara, Mishas Nefila Neres Katsiros Pitoi. Reuven's daughter was married to Shimon, and she's a ketana. She's a son of a chayav. Yes, she could do miyun, but she didn't do miyun until after Shimon died. So at the moment of Shimon's death, it looked like Reuven had a zika to two women, one of them being his daughter. So even though if she does miyun afterwards, it's too late. And that's the case over here. Why he extends it even a step further, saying that not only is the woman who does miyun not eligible for yibum, but even her tzara, because of the case of a tzara's pitoy that we just explained. And as the Rishonim explained, even though it seems like a gzeira l'gzeira, tzara's pitoy itself is only also because of a gzeira of real pitoy, and now we're making gzeira by every tzara's menace. And we know that Chazal don't make gzeira l'gzeira. Explain the Rishonim, this is kula chad gzeira. At one time, the entire gzeira was made that any mamamenes and hatzara cannot have hiba. There's a woman that's known in halacha as an islandess. We'll learn a lot in this Masechta Mitzvah about an islandess. An islandess is a woman who's at least 20 years old and has developed certain simonim that prove that she cannot have children. She has to be 20 years old and those simonim. In fact, there's a very nice svart from the Brisker Rav. Rashi says, by sorrow, when sorrow passed away, she was Bas Kuf Chav Zayin, 127 years old. So Rashi says, Bas Kuf Kabas Chav. When she was 100, she was like 20. Ma Bas Chav is not, doesn't get any oynish, doesn't get any punishment for Averis. So too she was when she was 100, she didn't do any Averis. So the Mizrahi asks, a girl is Bas Mitzvah 12. Why is Rashi saying Kabas Chav when she was 20? So the Brisker Rav answers, we know that Sarah was an islandess. We just finished saying that an islandess is not considered an islandess until she's 20. And she's not considered a gedolah until she's 20. That's why Sarah did not have the normal age of Bas Mitzvah of 12. Her age of becoming a gedolah was 20. Bas Kuf, Kabas Chav. So a woman who's an islandess is not eligible for Yibam. Shinema, because the Pasuk says, and it makes a lot of sense, the purpose of Yibam is that there should be children born to take over this brother who passed away. And now he goes a step further, Rav Asi, to say that not only is the island is not eligible for Yibam, even Hatzor. Most Rosheshes, we're going to learn the following case. Sholosh Achim Nesum Sholosh Noshim Nechroyos. You have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, three brothers, married to Sarah, Rivka, and Rachel. They're not related to each other. Umeis Echemehem. And one of the brothers passes away. Reuven passes away. Now, as we've been learning, midaraisa, what does Yibam mean? Having relations, consummating the relationship. However, Chazal, as we will also learn in the Masechta, felt that that was inappropriate, just to go have relations and she becomes your wife. So Chazal said that what they should do is maimer. Give her a ring, give her a shtar, give her money, like a regular marriage. Now, midaraisa, maimer has no standing. This is a derabbanan diga concept. So Reuven's wife died. V'asav sheni maimer. So now, Shimon goes and does maimer in Reuven's wife, Sarah, v'mes. And then Shimon, before he could consummate it with a yibum, passes away. So now let's understand what's the status here. Levi has Reuven's widow in front of him and Shimon's widow in front of him. Shimon's widow. Reuven's widow is really a widow of two brothers. She was Reuven's full-fledged wife and she was also somewhat Shimon's wife because Shimon did maimer in her. Says the Gemara that we're going to learn how to write Elul Chotz Shlemus Yamois. Midaraisa, both of them are candidates for Chalitza and Yibam. Because Midaraisa, Reuven's wife was nothing to Shimon yet. They never consummated their relationship. But since Midrabonon, they were somewhat connected. So it comes out that Reuven's wife, who was Reuven's wife and had Maimer with Shimon, is coming to Levi with two Zikas. A Zika from Reuven and a Zika from Shimon. So a person that comes with two Zikas is not a calendar date for Yibam. Because the Pasuk says, Shnem meis echmehem, Yavama yavaleh, Mishaleh zikas yavam echad, that she only comes from one husband, V'loi zikas shnei yavamim. Not this woman, Reuven's widow, who really is coming both as Reuven's widow and somewhat Shimon's widow. Of course, they mechuyev to have chalitza, because midaraisa, the mimer is meaningless. So she's halachically midaraisa, just one woman is Reuven's widow and one woman is Shimon's widow. But we say they should only do chalitza, not yivam.
That's
midrabanan,
though.
They should only do.
The pasuk is.
The pasuk is an asmachta. But Ketani law, regarding this halacha, the Braisa says, Amr Rav Yoy, says Rav Yoyse, Zui tzaras eishes ach mi'af. This is a case where a woman is a sister-in-law. She is in a filah garmla. It's not because she's an erva. Like we explained, these three wives, Reuven's wife, Shimon's wife, Levi's wife, are totally not related. Normally, as we've been learning from the beginning of Masechta, when is there an exemption to Yibam? When there's an erva situation. Here there's no erva situation. It's because they fell. And when Shimon passed away, that's his nefila, she, Reuven's widow, had on her tuch zikas. So that's the issue. And this is the only case, this is the only case where she and both Hatsar and Hatsar will not be eligible for Yibam. She is in the field Garmla, Shlomitzin Bechalatarika Gain Zeus. This is a very unique situation. Since Rabbi Yosef uses the terminology Zu, Lemutimai, what's he coming to exclude that will not have this halacha? Isn't he coming to exclude Lemuti Tsaras Islandus, that here the Tsara, Shimon's widow and Reuven's widow, both are not eligible to Yibam. But in the case of a Tsaras Islandus, they will be eligible for Yibam. The Sharia, different than what Rav Asi said, because Rav Asi said that Tsaras Islandus is not eligible for Yibam. Says the Gemara, you're right, it's coming to exclude, but not Lekula Lechumra. Lemuti Tsaras Islandus, that's Sira. That Tsaras Islandus is certainly Asr. Omaizu, Zihu de Isna Filum Garola. Here, as we explained, it's only a Drabbanan Digger concern. So since it's only the Rabbanim that get concerned, Midaraisa, as we said so many times, Reuven's widow is Reuven's widow, Shimon's widow is Shimon's widow, and Levi has a Zika to each one independently. It's this Rabbanim that get concept of Maimur that caused the complication. So that's why, as we explained, both of them may not be eligible for Yibam with Rabbanim, but they both have to have Chalitza. But in case of a Tsaras Islandus, since it's a Din Midaraisa, that an Islandus is not eligible for Yibam, or Chalitza, we go even further, the Midaraisa Hatzara doesn't have Yibam Chalitza. Zuhi, this in the field of Garmla, this special situation, that's why it's a Rasa Bay Chalitza. Here, island is a field of Chalitza Labay. The island is not she, nor her Tzara will require not Yibam, not Chalitza. My Tama, as we explained, Hadaraisa. The issue that an island is not eligible for Yibam or Chalitza is a Dimma Daraisa, as the Pasuk says, a Bechar Shatailit. Ha, as we explained, it's only Drabbanan because of the Smimer. So, if anything, right now we don't have a proof one way or another how we know Tsaras Islandus is exempt from Yibam. The Kulam, it says in a Braisa, Imeisu Amish, they said it actually, Imeisu Aminon Nizgashu, Oishinimtsu Islandus, Tsarasei Mataris. So here it clearly says that a Tsaras Islandus is permitted to Yibam. How could you say a Tsaras Islandus is prohibited? Ask the Gemara to Rav Asi. Answers the Gemara. Loi kasha. Kancha hikaba, kancha loi hikaba. It makes a difference if the husband who was married to this woman was aware that his wife was an Islandus. And let's explain. If he was aware that his wife was an Islandus and he remained married to her, so now when he dies, one of his wives is an Islandus, so she's not a candidate for Yibam Chalitza, and that extends to a Tzara. But if he wasn't aware that his wife was an Islandus, so it's a Kedusha Tos. He was never really married to her. So a Tzara is not a Tzara. A Tzara by definition means that they were both wives, but she wasn't a wife. Deikanami, and says the Gemara, I'll prove to you that's the way to understand the Mishnah. The Ketani Shenimtsu. Our Mishnah said that it was discovered. Nimtsu means that it was discovered. After the man died, it was discovered that his wife was an Islandus. Because that's the only case that the island, Tsaros Islands, is a candidate for Yibam. Because if the husband was aware that his wife was an islandess, even if he would die without children, the islandess is exempt from Yibam Chalitza, and it extends to her Tsara. Shema Amina. Amar Rava. However, Rava says, that's not the halacha. The halacha is, Tsaros Islandess Muteres, a Tsaros Islandess is Mutter to have Yibam Chalitza, Vafila Hekeba. Even if the husband knew that his wife was an islandess. Vafila Tsaros Pita Islandess. Even though, as we've been learning, that if Reuven's daughter was married to Shimon, we learned in the previous Gemara, even if she was a ketan and she did miyun, that she's not eligible for Yibam, and it extends to a co-wife, here it doesn't. And ask Tysus, why not? Why is it different? Why by Tsaros Pita Mamanis do we say that it extends to the Tsara, and by Tsaros Islandess it doesn't? So Tysus has a very simple teres. A Mamanis has to do something to affect the breaking of the relationship between her and her father. An islandess, as we're learning, doesn't have to do anything. She's an islandess. That's why there's a difference between a Tsaros Mamanis and a Tsaros islandess. That's one explanation. Another explanation that I saw the Malay Royim says, an islandess, everybody's aware of, that this woman is Nebuchadnezzar islandess. As we'll learn later in the Masechta, there's a lot of pointers saying that she's an islandess. A Mamanis, people don't know that she was Maman. They know that Shimon died, and one of his wives was Reuven's daughter. So therefore, there's more of a call by an islandess versus by the Mamanis. That's why Tsaros islandess may receive Yibum, and Tsaros Mamanis may not. But what is Rabbi saying? It makes no difference if the husband was aware or not aware that the wife that he had was an islandess. But we learned in the bottom of Amud Aleph that the Mishnah clearly indicates that it's only when he wasn't known, that he didn't know that she was an islandess. Ve'al-hodik tani shenimtsu. Didn't our Mishnah use the word shenimtsu that was only discovered, as we explained, after the husband died? Tani answers the Gemara, shahayu. Don't explain, this is what the Rishonim explain. We're not changing the wording of the Mishnah. We explain, we define that the word shenimtsu means that it was only discovered. Doesn't mean that. It means that she was an islandess. But doesn't mean necessarily that she was only discovered to be an islandess after her husband passed away. It could be that there was no one even before he passed away, and yet she's not a candidate for Yibam Chalitza. It doesn't apply to a co-wife. And we're trying to make an interesting observation. The Gemara on the bottom of Amud Aleph said Shmamino, that this is the right shot in the Mishnah to make a difference if the husband wasn't aware of the fact that his wife is an islandess. Usually when the Gemara says a Shmamina, that's the right shot. Here we have a Shmamina that the Gemara is retracting from. Says the Gemara, Lahalocha, Kiyasa Rav and Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Achat Tsaros Mamanis, the case of Tsaros Mamanis that we discussed, Vachat Tsaros Islandess, Vachat Tsaros Merach Shasai, these are all the three sugyas that we discussed today, Kulam Mataris, they're all Mutter. And as Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman explains, why is it Tsaros Mamanis Mutter? Because when we explained the case of Tsaros Mamanis, we said it was a gzeira. We asked the question, was it gzeira l'gzeira? Tsaros Mamanis is also because of Tsaros Bita Mamanis, and Tsaros Bita Mamanis is also because of Tsaros Bita. So we asked the question, when we learned Amud Aleph, it's a gzeira l'gzeira. So we answered, it's kulachad gzeira. Rav Yochanan doesn't want to agree to that. He says these are two separate cases, and therefore it's inappropriate to make a gzeira l'gzeira. Tsaros islandess, we just finished explaining that the Mishnah seems to point is Mutter, and Tsaros Merach Shasai, because we don't learn that the Kal V'Chomer, going back to how we began this year, has the ability to disallow Yibam not only on the Merach Shasai, but even to Atzar. Tani Rabbi Kameder of Nachman. Sholosh Noshim Shamshus V'Malch. There's three women, when they have relations with their husband, may use a piece of material. We're first going to learn the Gemara like Rashi explains it, may use a piece of material to prevent conception, insert a piece of material. Ketana, muberes umineka. Ketana, why may Ketana do it? Shemetis abba v'shemetomis. Since she's still a Ketana, and we'll discuss more exactly what age we're referring to, she may not be able to withstand the pregnancy. So that's why Ramey says she could have relations with this kind of contraceptive. Muberes, Shemetas Ubersandal. She may get pregnant again, and the second child that she'll conceive will crush the first child. So that's how Rashi learns. Ask Tysus, that the Gemara Masechta Nida says that once a woman is pregnant, she can't get pregnant again. So what are we worried that once she's pregnant, she's going to get pregnant again, and the second child will crush the first child, she can't get pregnant. So Taisa says when the Gemara says Masechta Nida that she can't get pregnant again, it means that she can't get pregnant to a viable child that will survive. But she can get pregnant to a child that won't survive. He may not survive, but he may have the ability to crush the first child. Menika, why may a nursing mother... Taisus, just before we go further, Taisus says Shematas Obersandal, different pshat. Taisus says that perhaps this woman is carrying twins, and the Shechva Zera, the semen that will be inserted into the body when there's relations, will crush, will force the two children that are in the mother's womb to come too close and crush each other. That's how he learns pshat. Menika, what's the concern, Menika? Shema Tigva Benava Yomis. If she gets pregnant, she no longer will have milk, and they lived in times where they were in great poverty, and she won't have anything to support her existing small child, and therefore she may use contraceptive. Vezik Tana, what is the age of Ktana that was saying she could have do this? Mibas Yudal Shana V'yom Echad Ad Yudbeis Shana V'yom Echad, from the age of 11 to 12. Pox Mikan, less than this, younger than this, the Yes Alkan, or older than this, Mishameshes Kedak V'Alechel, she could have regular relations. Divrei Meir. Why? Because when she's younger than 11, we don't have to worry about her getting pregnant, because she can't get pregnant when she's younger. And when she's older than 12, she could successfully conceive and not be in danger. That's Remei's pshat. V'chamayrim, achazu v'achazu Mishameshes Kedak V'Alechel. All these women should have regular relations. And they don't have to worry. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, watches even people who do some things, foolish things. So as we explained, according to Rashi, the machlokes between Ramei and the Chacham is, Ramei is telling us that these three women could use contraceptive during having relations. And the Chacham say, this way most Mepharshim explain, since the chance of her getting in danger is very remote, so we don't allow to have contraceptives during the relations, because a woman is not supposed to use contraceptives during relations. Why? Because as Taisus explains, and Taisus has a whole different pshat in the Gemara, Taisus says no woman may use contraceptives during the relations. Why? Because there will be a situation of etzah zera levatala, causing the husband to emit semen that we know is going to waste. So therefore Taisus says no one, not Ramei and certainly not the Chacham, will allow that kind of relation. What Ramei is saying is that after they have relations, these three women should clear themselves of any semen that may be in the body to prevent pregnancy. And the Chum say, we don't have to worry, even if they get pregnant, Shem Epsoim Hashem. But according to Taisus, there's a kula and a chumra. The chumra is that they're not allowed to use, no one is allowed to use contraceptives, even according to Ramei, during relations. But according to Taisus, after relations, this may be done, but it's only allowed to be done. But the machlokes Ramei Chacham is that Ramei is saying they should do it to avoid pregnancy. The Chacham say they don't have to do it. But according to Taisus, every woman really is allowed to do this after relations, because this is not called Hatzar Zer Levatala, because the relations that they had were in a natural form. Hatzar Zer Levatala is only if the relations were done in a way to prevent pregnancy.